Welcome to the AI for Interior Designers podcast, where creativity meets cutting-edge technology. In each episode, we dive deep into the world of artificial intelligence and explore how it's revolutionizing the interior design industry. From AI-powered design tools to the latest trends and innovations, we've got you covered. So plug in, relax, and let's embark on this exciting journey together. Welcome to AI for Interior Designers podcast. P.S. This intro was written by and voiced by AI to sound like your host, Jenna Good-Dusek. Hey there, welcome back to episode 2 of the AI for Interior Designers podcast. I'm your host, Jenna Good-Dusek. So today I wanted to talk a little bit about my workflow and where I have integrated AI and where I have not integrated AI into that workflow. There's a lot of people out there right now that are either on the fence about using AI in their design business, just simply are against it or are like fully embracing AI. And I think that that's, you know, everybody is where they're at and that's all good for whatever you're trying to achieve. But I think that there's a lot of misconceptions as to how much people are actually using AI in their business and what is being replaced, for lack of a better word, and what the fears are around that. So, being in this virtual space and such a virtual communicator for so long, I have found that there's just things that like enhance what I'm doing, but also things that like I just won't do with AI at this point in time. Maybe because they're just not advanced enough in the technology to meet me where I want to be, or there's just things that I like to do and I don't want to stop doing them. So I pick and choose where I want to include AI. And that's something that everybody can be doing. Like, there's no reason that you have to be like, oh, everything is AI that I do, or I don't use AI at all, which, you know, is also a totally different path. You know, if you want to be AI free in your design business, great. And, you know, kind of use that as marketing material. On the flip side, it's kind of like, well, you probably are using AI somehow because it is so deeply ingrained in so many of our programs already. Just because you're not creating AI images does not mean that you're not using AI. Like, it is in your writing, it's in, you know, Grammarly, it's in your text messages. Like, there's so much AI that has already started infiltrating our programs to streamline and make them better, which is exactly what we're doing as interior designers, right? In our process and streamlining. And honestly, for me, the only reason why I'm doing it is for better communication with my clients. I can be on the same page faster with visuals, and we can make sure like that we're 100% confident before more money is spent and more time is spent that we are on the right path for what we are trying to achieve together. So I'm going to take you through kind of my virtual collaboration walkthrough. This is also like a hybrid situation if I ever take a local client, which, you know, I do. I prefer to go virtual, but I do have some local clients and I'll go out there and kind of, you know, go shopping and antiquing and look for those specific products that you just can't find on the internet. And that's fun. It's not something that I want to do all the time, but I do have a few local clients here in Charleston that I do that for. All right. So let me take you through this little journey of how I collaborate. So this is my process. You know, you have yours, whatever that might be. I will say my current process is not what I was doing a year ago. It has been elevated by AI, and I have adapted some of the things that I do to better emphasize my work with AI and to streamline it. So the first thing that I do is that initial consultation. Sometimes this is a phone call. If it's a larger project, it'll be a video call and I will have them kind of take me around, get a feel for them, how they live in their house, who the decision makers might be, have that open conversation with everybody, and then just like, you know, virtually walk around and see what's going on with all of the spaces. If we don't do that, then I do have them send me, you know, just various pictures, like tons and tons of pictures, videos, which I'll take a video, but like, it's not my favorite because I have to keep pausing it. And for me, kind of my process is to, you know, like close my eyes and like imagine that space, which, you know, clients can't do, but I you know, people that are designers typically have that little superpower. So a video, like, I can't just like pause it and, you know, I have to pause it in order to be able to sit there and absorb it. So that's why I like photography, like pictures versus video. But video is nice to kind of put the whole space together. So anyway, either way, I get all that information. We sit down, we have a conversation. Regardless if we do that because it is a larger project, or if they just kind of come to me in an email or a DM and they're like, here's what I want to do, the next step is always my client onboarding questionnaire. This is something that I adapted using Typeform way back when I started, like 2016. I actually remember like when Typeform started, and I was on calls with them about, you know, kind of their technology and where it goes. So I have used them, love them forever. I use them for, you know, opt-ins for email generation over the years, for style quizzes, for client onboarding, and then like a variation for all my different projects where you can create kind of this one big all-encompassing questionnaire and then like split it all up for different lower tier types of services. So I love them. I use them. Not like an affiliate here, but like it's a great visual questionnaire like form, which is something that we need as designers. You know, like this is what we do. We're in the visual industries. So having a onboarding questionnaire that is not only like fun and pretty to look at, but also like engaging versus, you know, a Google form, which is just like, do you like this? Do you like that? Do you like that? And it's just words. I'm sure you could probably pop in a few pictures, but this for me has just been better. And then you get the CSV file or, you know, however you want to download it with all the documentation at the end. So I go on to the questionnaire, right? They fill all that out. And then we, you know, I say, all right, give me some time. Let me start designing. So that questionnaire I have formatted, and I'll go over a few of my questions here in a minute, but I formatted that questionnaire so that it really kind of it speaks to the design assistant GPT that I have been customizing over the past few months in ChatGPT. So this is a custom little bot. Soon it will be on my website with training and also for sale. It's private. So you don't have to build your own if you don't want to. But it basically has been trained to take my hodgepodge of information from both the initial call and my notes that are just super raw and the questionnaire and all the details and pictures and everything from that. And then I put all of that just messy data into my design assistant, GPT. And from there, it knows that it needs to make it pretty for me. So it creates this really beautiful, like, outline. It kind of takes all those ideas and categorizes everything, bullet points everything, and I can move forward with that. On the flip side, if you are using my Doma, this is where I would then take that whole client, you know, bio, client project brief, and I would actually upload it to the AI assistant called Max in my Doma. And that basically creates this whole project for me within a matter of minutes. I tell it what the budget is, the client's name. I can do start dates. I can do what my views would be, which is basically like how I want to categorize and organize my products in here. So by room, you know, by fixtures, whatever that might be. I tell it here in Max's onboarding, and then it'll automatically set those folders up for me. And then I can start clipping to them immediately. It also will organize my files in media sections. So if I want like before and after pictures, if I have construction documents that or floor plans or anything like that, I can right off the bat say, now create these files, and then just immediately start uploading things as soon as it's set up. So that's why I format it in this way. Of course, don't necessarily need to do that. But for me, it's just kind of second nature. It makes sense for me to format it, upload it, instantly create that client portal in my Doma Studio. And then, you know, I can just start dropping in everything because it now just took like, you know, 90 seconds versus 15, 20 minutes, which it probably would have done before. So after I have my bot create that client profile and organize everything, it knows that the next step is to create the conceptual imagery. So like a flat lay or, you know, a mood board, something that uses the images that my client has told me that they really like from this onboarding questionnaire and, you know, other information that I've retained from them. And then it formats it and it creates this beautiful flat lay style board right after. It provides me with that client organized brief. So from there, I chat back and forth with it, which is different than what we can do with Midjourney, right? Midjourney is just kind of a prompt. You can revise the prompt, you can revise elements of the images, but you can't have a conversation with it. But with DALL-E, part of ChatGPT, and inside of this design assistant that I built, I can now say, okay, I like this about that. I like this about that. I want to see more of this in the image. Let's do a revision. And it just continues to have this conversation and then spit back the imagery. Now, something that I do, and I'll teach this in, you know, classes, is I will take the images from DALL-E and I will basically say, if they're good ones, you know, the ones that I like, where they make sense, I'll say, okay, give me the prompt. And then I will take that prompt and I will put it in Midjourney, because Midjourney has its own whole aesthetic over there, right? Like, it does different things than what DALL-E does. DALL-E's got like kind of a glow, doesn't understand lighting, doesn't understand like kitchen layouts, like, but it's beautiful. It makes really pretty pictures, and especially flat lays. I love the flat lays that it produces. So I will take the same prompt, throw it over in Midjourney, put it in Midjourney, and then see what that comes out with. 9 times out of 10, I really prefer the images because they're super realistic. They're really well laid out, better understanding of floor plan, and just more optimized for what I'm trying to do in Midjourney. So I go back and forth and back and forth, and I have these conversations. And then what I do is I put the images that I want to use for my client's, you know, next step for the presentation. I put them in a nice little Canva document, and then using Loom, which is basically like a video recorder, if you haven't used it before, I will shoot a little Loom video for that client going through this little slide deck of inspirational imagery that I just created in Midjourney and DALL-E. And I'll say, here's the color palette I have in mind. Here is the inspirational images for, you know, potential that we could do in your kitchen. Here's some ideas for what we can do in the bedroom. Here's some art ideas, you know, like, just back and forth, kind of like, here's what I'm thinking, and here are all the images to support that. What we have always kind of done with design previously is go on Pinterest, go to stock photos, you know, look for imagery that represents things that we want to show our clients before we start designing, to save time, right? To make sure that we're on the same page, to see if they even like it before we even touch a rendering program. But what this is doing now is I no longer have to go and search for hours for something that I can visually show to my client to say, this is the range hood scale that I'm thinking of, you know, like this really massive thing, you know, maybe a copper, like whatever. Like, if they can't visualize that and I can't find the perfect image, not saying that any of these AI are perfect, but it's a starting point. And all we need is text formats to be able to generate those images. So a lot of the questions that I'm asking in my onboarding questionnaire, they have to do with setting up the perfect prompt to get these images for not only what my client has in mind and what their ideas are, but for me as a designer, what I bring to the table and my thoughts and my ideas that just might not have the images to go with that yet. And I don't have time to scour the internet. You know, I also just don't want to use other designers' imagery. It's not really been anything that I've ever been interested in doing. And if I did, I always, you know, sourced where it came from. But that's just personal preference, in that I want to create my own images. I want to have my own ideas and have the imagery to support that before we move on to the next phase. The next phase is going to be the concept development. So here is where I would basically go out and start sourcing. And there's so many different ways to do this. For me, it depends on the project, honestly. So I always kind of start with my key places. you know, so my private label collection for like upholstered furniture where it can be customized. And then if it's, you know, custom pillows, decor, artwork, that's me. That's a print on demand type thing. And I'll use like artwork and build out all those. That's for a whole other day. I actually have a whole class on this called AI plus print on demand, which is super fun. It's like one of my favorite parts of all this. So I'll create, you know, custom stuff. But then for all those other like case goods, accessories, all of those types of things, I do need to source them. I do need to find them. And working remotely, it's typically going to be online. Sometimes with an affiliate, sometimes just not because it's the right piece and that's fine. So I personally don't like to order anything unless if it's from my private label collection or it's from my print on demand collection. I just don't want to do that. And the more conversations I'm having with, you know, mentees of mine, they're like, I don't like it. I don't want to do it either. And I'm like, let's not. Let's just not do that. let's find another way or build it into our pricing structure that, you know, they're going to order it and that's fine. So with that, the next thing I'm going to do is potentially I could take images. I could reverse image search using Google reverse image. I could use Copilot, which is AI on Microsoft browser. I mean, there's plenty of options out there where basically you search the image, Pinterest, of course, as well. You search little pieces of the image and then you find shopping. Like it just connects to the shopping options. And then I'll kind of go through there. It's very easy to find wholesale manufacturers if you know what you're looking for on all these products. And you can, you know, source where you want to. So if you are a designer that uses your own trades, cool. Let's find a product that's through those trades. It is not difficult to reverse image search, figure out who the manufacturer is. You know, I don't order from House, but they have all their manufacturers listed. So it's not difficult to do a reverse image search, find something on one of these larger retailer sites, and then they have everything right there for us to actually purchase it trade. Or go to, you know, if you're using like Daniel House Club or something like that, find it through them as well. So the next thing that I would do is I propose these concepts over to the client. If my client has purchased a render, which they don't always, sometimes it's just a concept board, shopping list, etc. But if they purchase the render, I actually simultaneously am rendering and putting together the concept board at the same time. So my process, just so you have an idea, is renders open on one page. I use the MyDoma visualizer. And then I have a browser clipper tool through the MyDoma Studio app, where basically whenever I'm on a website, I clip that tool, put it right over to whatever that project view is after I have created that using the Max AI assistant, though you don't have to, you can just create views, label them all, kind of put them all, you know, in the categories. Also simultaneously, I'm putting them on the design board. So I'm creating a list, which also can be downloaded as a CSV file, PDF file, and I'm putting them on the concept board and I'm rendering them in the space. It sounds like a lot. It's not because it is just like a streamlined process of mine now. Like it's just second nature. It's just clip it, organize it, put it in the rendering, find the 3D model or reverse image search that photo of that particular item in the visualizer, find the 3D model that looks close enough, apply the materials, change the size. And if I can't find what I'm looking for, go over to SketchUp and find something and then import it right in. So there's ways to make the concept board come to life at the same time. Now, with my visualizations that I'm doing, people might say, like, why aren't you just taking your concept board and then saying, make this a 3D image? Because right now, in the middle of March of 2024, it's not possible. Okay. So because of copyright restrictions, you can put in your concept board, you can put in a example of the space, but the two do not correspond well. So it will kind of come up with like look-alike ideas based off color palette, based off furniture items, etc. But it will never be at this point in time the exact rendition. And also it doesn't understand space planning. So it's not like, okay, well, here's that pillow, here's that sofa, let's like put them on. None of that's going to happen for you. Okay. So that's why I'm still rendering at the same time. So this is kind of going back to the beginning of the episode where I said, You know, there's things I do with AI. There's things I just don't do with AI at this point in time. Who's to say that when I'm here talking to you in a year from now, that this exists and this now changes everything for us? But currently where we're at, due to copyright restrictions, which I can respect, we're just not there yet. Okay. So after I send the initial concept over, I also send it with a video. If this is a virtual client, actually, even if it's not, I send it over with a video. I send it with a 3D VR tour so they can walk through their space. I can also do video, but I save that for the final design. So I send them this tour. They get to walk. They get to experience. They get to see their whole new space. And they get that little like shopping list at the same time. Now, typically, because of all the pre-work that I've done with solidifying their style, understanding their goals for the space, and then having a conversation using the AI imagery about how we want the space to come out and how we want this room to look, I don't have a lot of revisions at this point. There's going to be a few here or there, but because we've done all that pre-work, it totally changes the game. So in my previous experiences, especially with virtual design, and I did work for three of the virtual design companies back in the day before everything started shutting down, with good reason. So I used a lot of their processes. And a lot of that was like, okay, create two concept boards, you know, go through endless rounds of revisions. And then you're making what, $2 an hour? Like, it was insane. So I am so scarred from those experiences that I'm like, how can we optimize? How can we get to the best design for this client with the path of least resistance? And this is that. This is the onboarding, the communication, the visual communication. This is how we get there without having to do two concept boards, without having to go back and forth, because we understand it at a deeper level because we did all these things. Okay. The other thing that I would do after I propose that is, if there are a few revisions, no worries, make them, put them into the render. For anything outside of that, I do charge an hourly rate to reselect particular items after the first revision. So after we get all of that, I put together the final video if it calls for it, the final walkthrough, VR or, you know, desktop tour, so they can kind of just see all their space, the final concept board, and then I will send a video. Again, with Loom, and I will say, here's the design plan. Here's what we're doing. Then you get access to me after, as you're ordering or as I'm, you know, ordering custom stuff. And then we're done. I want to see the pictures. You know, I want to see how everything came together. Rarely do I get to see those pictures, but that's okay. I don't do it for the end pictures. I know some people probably do. That's not my goal. I just want people to live happy in their homes, you know, like, and if I get pictures at the end, awesome. I really am more for like a good solid review. And if you can just tell your friends about me, that's what I'm in this for, right? But that's me. So you might like those end pictures and you might have a totally different process, and that is all good. As my friend Claire Jefford says, there's more than one way to the top of the mountain. So after I kind of go through all this stuff, you know, like, I do a postmortem. I look back. I'm like, where could I have streamlined? What could I do? And that sometimes will come with more GPTs that I can build. So after, you know, the initial project here, I built this design assistant GPT, but then I realized, oh, I really need like a budget buddy GPT. So what I did was I created, again, these will also be available for you if you want to access. I created a budget buddy, and this budget buddy, basically I programmed it to understand every single detail of every single room of the house and create a good, better, best situation. So we can now say, here's my client's information. Here's the room we're designing, or rooms we're designing. Here's the overall budget. Break it down. And so it will come back with things you don't even think you could potentially need. You know, I know homeowners aren't, because they're coming to us to find out all these things, but they're things that like I wouldn't even think about. That's how nitty gritty I programmed this thing to be. So it comes back with good, better, best. Sometimes I will even use it to get a sourcing spot, you know, like a a jumping off point where, you know, if I say, okay, we're designing a bedroom today, it's going to be kind of coastal themed. You know, here's some inspirational image, create a budget, good, better, best. It will also leave room for like taxes, delivery, and then overage things that we just don't think about. It does account for that in the budgeting. And then sometimes I'll just kind of play with it and say, okay, so going off of that for the bed, where would I find one, you know, in these three budget ranges? Right now, what GPT is doing is it's basically pulling from larger retail sites, you know, CB2, West Elm, and then House, Pottery Barn, you know, like all those kind of larger retailers. I actually kind of like when it does House, because what I can do is I can have it, let me take a step back. What it does is it spits back results for a filtered search for me. So if I say like coastal bedroom, it will go type in that search within those budget restrictions, and then it will source the link to me in its reply saying, okay, here's what I found. And then it'll be the search results for that criteria. So kind of skips a step where like I don't have to go do that, but also I look there. I don't order from there, but I would, you know, use that as a tool. So sometimes if you ask it also, I'm looking for trade, you know, wholesale resources, it will spit those back too. It is finicky. It is not perfect by any means. I've never gotten the same reply twice with all these sources, but it does seem to be pulling from these larger sites. And that kind of gets into, they probably have just optimized SEO over all these like smaller, you know, little pillow stores or whatever, because they're giants. And so that's where it's going to first. So I bet that if I wanted to have a conversation, just kind of be like, okay, don't list all of these, it would probably crawl on some smaller sites and then source those for me. It also sources blogs when I'm asking it for, you know, information. A lot of those blogs are actually interior designers blogs is what I found. Designers blogs that have basically sourced or included imagery and a name of a product in their blog post. And that, you know, was the result of one of my searches through ChatGPT. And so it will link back to that person's blog. If you thought blogs were dead, I do not think that they are, especially in the world of ChatGPT, Copilot right now. You know, all of that, I would assume Gemini too, though I've only dabbled with it for a couple of days now. So it is pulling and sourcing results from blog posts. So if you can optimize your blog posts with keywords that, you know, your ideal client could potentially be searching for on that topic, as well as using alt text. So as ALT, alt text, that is basically when you add text to describe an image on like the back end. So that shows up in SEO. Also, you know, Instagram, Pinterest, those types of things, as long as they've been optimized, those could also potentially be showing up. So digital marketing is very much not dead in that sense, where Google is now basically like the dumbest in the bunch, to put it lightly. They are, you know, like the first iteration, I guess, of, or I guess Ask Jeeves or Yahoo was probably one of the first ones. But they're now like, you know, all of these other AI things are like powerful search engines that are so optimized to get even more detailed with their replies than what Google would do, because Google would show, you know, who's advertising, who's paying me first, and then it would kind of get down to those other things below it in those search results. But for this, it's more like, okay, let's match the words to the description. So sourcing and all of that is actually, it's a pretty big topic. It's something that we could definitely explore in some other episodes, but it's a good place to start to use ChatGPT, to use these design buddies, reverse image searching, all of that stuff. It's just another tool in our tool belt as design professionals. So before I said I want to get back into like some of the questions that I ask in my questionnaire, this is available on AI for Interior Designers. You can access and download my actual questionnaire. So let me just kind of run through some of the questions here. So I start with just obtaining their information, you know, shipping information, phone numbers, emails, etc. Then we go on to, I got some graphics that are, which room do you want to do? And it's like living room, bedroom, you know, just fun little like icons for that. Then I I try and keep this like simple, right? But fast, because when you see that it's like 30 questions, it can seem daunting. So very few of them are actually type in things. A lot of them are just yes or no questions. So do you own this home? Yes or no? Does it need to be pet friendly? Does it need to be kid friendly? Consider grandchildren as well and other guests. I ask what the overall budget range is, and then I kind of give like lines where they could tell me what they're thinking. Do you want to paint? Do you want a wallpaper? Is there anything that you want to change structurally for your project? And they can type that in. What are your biggest design challenges in your home? What stores do you like to shop at? So sometimes I will even put this information into my client profile. Most of the time I will, because I just kind of copy and paste. And this is also a good starting point because I know their style. I know generally their price point, what they're comfortable with. It might be retail. I might be able to find my trade sources if that's the route I want to go. But it's a great starting point because I can understand them a little bit better. And then I say, do you like to invest in quality furniture? And that kind of talks about, you know, like the longevity of it and gives me an opportunity to educate them on how products are made and why my private label is the best or, you know, the different tiers and what you're actually buying if you're buying like a 3-5 year sofa versus something that is really built to last. The next question is A through Z. So it's all these words, and it's choose at least three describing words for how you want your space to feel when you walk in. And so these are words like high-end, playful, calm, personalized. These equate to how I prompt. These are the vibes we want to feel in this space. I like to mess around with these just to see the different, you know, like outcomes. Like sometimes I'll do light and airy if that's one of their words. Sometimes I'll just do calm and inviting, you know, whatever that might be. These are all little things that we can work into our prompting to make it more personalized and a little bit more different than just saying, design me a kitchen that's blue and white with, you know, something, whatever. We get a little bit more feeling in it here. The next question is all of my AI generated images. They're actually all from Midjourney because it's just the best quality. I tried to find things that have like minimal oddness to them. I got kitchens in here. I got living rooms. I've got a few bedrooms, just kind of like the core spaces. And this is only the styles that I like to design with features that I connect well to, because my clients probably found me because they connect well to my aesthetics. So that's why I include those types of things in my questionnaire. Those images are also the ones that I will snapshot, upload into the client profile. And that, along with the flat lay question, which is also Midjourney flat lays, some of them might be Dolly. But anyway, I take those images, upload them with the client profile so that they can really understand, you know, the style, the overall tone that the client has selected. This is also a great place to come back to the client and say, hey, I see that you selected these three rooms. Can you tell me more about what you liked here? Was it the color palette? Was it, you know, the styling? Was it the comfort level of this? What was your favorite part? And then that opens another dialogue just to gain more insight as to what they like. The next thing that I have is just knobs of all different finishes. So you can list out and you can say honey bronze or antique pewter, but who knows what that looks like, right? The interpretation could be very different. So if you're using onboarding sequences that are written and not pictures, you might consider just going and grabbing some pictures. I have actually gone to one of my favorite hardware places and used some of those finishes from there so that it's very consistent. Same with flooring. I went over to favorite flooring place, Rebel Woods, and I went ahead and added some of their swatches just with no names either. Just like, which one do you like? Which ones do you like here? That way I can get an idea of what their wood tones are. The next thing is, what's your preferred color palette? So this is a little bit different than the flat lays because those are more like materials that are all laid out as a flat lay. But what I have here is a preferred color palette that I created with like these little brush strokes in Canva. I'm using like little paintbrushes. Forever ago I made these, but it's different color combinations. So we got like blues, monochromatics, blue greens, orange blues, you know, like some earthy colors. There's 10 choices here. So I just kind of say, which ones do you like best for your space? Again, those are things we could upload to start in ChatGPT, get inspiration from. We can grab those hex codes if it's something that they really liked. We can translate that over to paint colors. Like, there's so much more we could talk about on this, but we'll leave it at that for today. Of course, I asked for their Pinterest, their house information. If they have any furniture pieces that they're already looking at, let me know. If you haven't purchased them, or if you have purchased them and we're kind of locked in here, let me know. I got to know that stuff up front. I do something a little different. My quiz is called a style quiz, or sorry, what am I calling this these days? The style, oh my gosh, totally blanket. I'll go back on it in a second and see. Style profile. Jeez. Okay. So style profile questionnaire. That's what I call this to soften it and not call it like a new client project questionnaire. That's my backend information. But this tells me about their fashion sense as well. So the last section here, I ask about their clothes and their fashion. For me, I wear hoodies and black every day. I just prefer comfort. You know, I'm gonna shower every morning before I get out of bed, but I'm gonna be comfortable for the day. So I wanna know, and my house is comfortable. You know, it's fun. It's actually, there's like not a lot of black in my house, but it's very colorful. But I personally dress like this. I prefer just the casual, you know, comfortable, but also vibrant in the things that I like for artwork and textiles and whatnot. But this kind of tells me what their style might be. So, you know, do you dress a little boho? Do you like graphic tees? Like, are you into athleisure as a style? You know, what is that vibe like? Do you have a large wardrobe, or do you just kind of have your capsule pieces? That tells me, you know, do they invest in quality? Do they like what they like and they're comfortable investing in that and they don't need these disposable pieces that come along with it? That says a lot when you can equate that to style. What types of clothing do you wear most frequently? So casual, going out, cocktail attire, you know, kind of talks a little bit more about lifestyle with that question. What brands do you like to buy? So that also can give me an idea of like, yeah, they gave me a budget, but you know, they're buying $200 leggings. So we might have some wiggle room here, or also we might need to have a conversation with the husband and just like see what's really up here and what we can get away with. So I also ask, you know, do you have any designer clothing or bags? I just kind of want to know about that. All right. So then that's it. Then I take that information, I assemble it, and I move on to the next step, which is just creating those conceptual images and all of that information and compiling it into something that's very nice and cohesive that ChatGPT, my design assistant, can review and come up with, you know, a cohesive starting point using that concept board. There's so many other things I can talk about with this where, you know, I use things like color readers to read color in real life and to find hex codes and paint colors that match. I use the same type of tool also in my, you know, Canva and also in Photoshop, like with the eyedropper, grab the color, find the hex code, start to build off of those types of things. So these are all just little tools in our toolbox, and it's not just for AI, you know, like there's going to be tools that cover these things, especially probably after some of these tech people listen to this podcast, and they're going to say, oh, I can incorporate that into this program. But right now, this is kind of where we're at. It's a hybrid of here's where I use AI as a tool, as an enhancement, and here is where I use my tried and true techniques of rendering, of communicating with the client. Like, I'm not cutting any of that out. I might have automated some of my checkpoint emails that I can then, you know, adapt for the process by using ChatGPT to create those. But everything else is me. I'm showing up on video. I'm showing up on, you know, the recordings that I'm creating, and I'm just integrating little pieces of AI into this workflow. So going back to those that say, you know, AI might be intimidating, AI is something I will never use. Think about it. Think about where you can be better as a professional, because even if you don't get into the Midjourney and the DALL-E and the imagery, I, for one, hate writing blog posts. So what I could potentially do is just help you know, voice text it into my ChatGPT, which is now available both on mobile through your app and on your desktop. And then just kind of like verbally, you know, express what I want a blog post to be about, and then work with GPT to build that blog post and then revamp it, you know, rewrite it kind of like with my own style, with my own little tidbits. But for me, voice communication is a really great alternative to constantly typing out everything. So meet AI where you're at, use what you need, and continue doing what you do as a professional, but look for ways to optimize. Because I can tell you, this one client that I'm working with that I previously worked with before, she's very visual. She always has been. And she needs more of the, you know, here's what I'm thinking is what I'll like, you know, type to her. And then she's like, oh, can I see a picture of that? Yes. Yes, you can see a picture of that idea before we get into anything further on this topic. So it's little things like that, that is just such an incredible tool. And I'm really excited to see where everything goes from here, because like I say, like I've said all these episodes in the first episode, like we are just scratching the surface. There is more to come. It's a little scary, but if you have the ethics behind it, if you have a clear understanding of your goals and what you want to use for it, AI is a tool. It is simply an enhancement. It is not a replacement. Okay. I'm going to leave you with that today. And I will see you next week for episode 3 of AI for Interior Designers podcast. Thank you for joining me. And don't forget to follow and subscribe. Appreciate it. Bye. Thanks for listening to today's episode of the AI for Interior Designers podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to this channel and tune in next week for more AI tips for your design business. See you next time.